great to have all our visitors. We got a lot of folks visiting with us. We've got some from Ohio, and we had some from Nebraska, but they left. Actually, they had a flight leaving out this morning, and their flight got canceled, so maybe they're on their way back. I don't know. But we've got folks from as close as right behind us here across the parking lot. We got folks from Metoica visiting with us from the beautiful city of downtown Metoica, and we're glad to have you here with us. Some of you folks are here this morning in answers to prayers. And, you know, you may not realize the importance of that, but you're here at least in part because of answers to prayers. And we're going to talk more about that in just a few minutes. But we're grateful to have you here with us today. I have a couple of one prayer request, a new prayer request card I want to share with you. And this is for Timothy Dean. He is Geraldine's nephew, and he had a stroke this past week, and he's in the Southside Regional Medical Center. So please add him to your prayer list and keep him in prayer. And also I have a prayer request update, and this is concerning Debbie Carroll, who we've been praying for quite some time. And Denise writes on this, please move Debbie Carroll's card to the prayers answered wall. Okay, there you go. And she has completed her chemo and is doing very well. In fact, she is feeling grand. Their son, Matt, and his wife have made them grandparents. And Debbie is rejoicing in her recovery and the safe arrival of her first grandchild, Corbin. And so we rejoice in God answering our prayers on behalf of Debbie and her family. So, you know, God is working some amazing things, isn't He? And, you know, He continues to answer our prayers, and we just continue to pour out our prayers as we try to become more and more of a house of prayer to the Lord. That's what we're really trying to do and focus on more and more here at Edge Hill. And we have been really making a concerted effort to focus a lot on prayer really over the last year and a half, and it's working, you see. God is, as I mentioned a moment ago, God has answered some amazing prayers for us, some things that have just been going on that just continue to show how much God cares about us every day in our lives. As we've studied a lot of different things about prayer and trying to learn, like Jesus' disciples had asked Him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so we've been trying to do that more, is to learn how to pray more and more. And not only how to pray, but more specifically, what we've been focusing on most recently is what to pray for. And the idea there is that, you know, so often we pray about stuff. And those of you who have been here long enough know what I mean when I say stuff. You know, that's one of my words just to indicate all the physical things that we so often worry about in life. You see, and we often pray about the stuff in our lives, the physical things, but we really need to be focusing a lot more on praying for spiritual things, you see. And this morning, we're going to talk about praying, as we've been talking the last several weeks about praying for different relationships that we have, our relationship with God, relationship with family, and so forth. This morning, we're going to talk about praying for relationships with non-Christians. See? You know, it's a matter of, again, what are we praying for? And so take a look with me at some things. You know, turn in your Bible over to the text that was read for us as we began this morning. In Colossians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul here, as he wrote this letter to the church in Colossae, is talking about prayer, and really it's a prayer request that Paul is making here, okay? I don't know if he filled out a little white card or not, you see, when he did this, but he's making a prayer request here. And I want you to look at this prayer request that Paul is making, and then what we're going to do is look at what he's asking for in terms of prayer, and then see, okay, what if we were to be praying that same kind of prayer? You see, what would the results really be? Paul asked for prayer specifically to help spread the gospel. See, that's what he's praying about here. Look at what he says here. Devote yourselves to prayer. This is verse 2 and following. Devote yourselves to prayer. Well, that's what we've been doing, right? Okay? So we've been working on that part. All right? Then he says, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Secondly, he says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. You see? And then he says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Well, you know, if we consider this prayer request, okay, that Paul is making here, how can that same prayer request help us? In being able to share the good news with more and more people. So let's take a look at this prayer request and see what we can do with it. The first thing that he talks about is praying for open doors. See? Pray that doors may be open for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Paul prays that doors will be open. Why? Because he recognizes that our task, our primary task as Christians, is to share the gospel with other people. That's what Jesus sent us to do. The Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 19, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, do what? Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. That's Jesus' command. And what we need to recognize is that He gave that command to the preachers and the elders and the deacons in the churches, right? And nobody else. Some of you don't seem really sure. Did I confuse you? Okay, I hope that maybe you were going, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right, Russ. Because it doesn't. He didn't give it just to the preachers and the elders and the deacons. He gave it to everyone. You see, and so that's all of our responsibility, is to go and make disciples. And isn't that what Paul is preaching, or is praying about here, or asking about? Lord, help me to go and do what You told me to do. You see? Now, here's a principle that I am fully convinced of. Whenever we do something, we try to do something that God has told us to do, then He's going to make us successful. Does that make sense? You see? I mean, why would He tell us to do something and then not help us to be successful in doing what He told us to do? You see? And He told us to go and make disciples. So, you see, when we understand it that way and we realize, you know, God has sent us out to teach people His Word. That is, He wants us to go into all the world. And so when we pray asking God to open doors of opportunity for us, do you think that maybe some doors might be open? You see? Yeah, absolutely. We're praying for something that God wants to do for us. You see? So it makes sense that God is going to give us success if we try to do what He has told us to do. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, Jesus pointed out the need for workers to go out and to teach the gospel. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. ask the Lord of the harvest. What does that imply? When he says, ask the Lord of the harvest, what does that indicate? Prayer, exactly, you see. So basically what he's saying is pray to God and ask Him to send out workers into His harvest field. You see? So what I want to suggest to you, first of all, this morning, as we talk about relationships with non-Christians, we need to be praying about those relationships, praying for relationships that way. We need to be asking God in prayer to open doors of opportunity for us. You see? So that we can proclaim Christ to other people. So, you know, as you look around you and you think about family members, you think about people you work with or neighbors or friends, you know, ask God to open a door into their life so that you would have opportunity to share Christ with them. That's something we need to be praying for. But Paul goes on in this prayer request, and another thing that he requests here in prayer is a prayer for clear proclamation. You see? Praying for a clear proclamation. Look what he says. Pray, verse 4, that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. That's an area that sometimes gets us tangled up on, isn't it? We were talking about this morning in our Bible class, weren't we, Ray? You know, we make all kinds of excuses as to why we can't go and teach other people about the Lord. Excuse me. I've been shouting too much. But, you know, we need to be asking God to open those doors and to help us to proclaim it clearly. Then it takes away the excuses. You say, I don't know enough Bible, or maybe they'll ask me a question I don't really know the answer to. You know what I have found in studying with people? They ask me questions I don't know the answer to all the time. You say, because I don't know everything. I know that that's a disappointment to some of you. Okay? I'm sorry to break your bubble this morning, all right? But you know, I kind of have this philosophy, and I had this back when I was a state trooper. You know, people always ask troopers, "Trooper, what's the law about so-and-so?" I don't know. I knew how to find it, though. And my response was, you know what? That's why they wrote it down, so I could go and find out, all right? And that's why God had it written down. So if we don't know, we can go find out. You see. We don't have to always remember everything. We can go look it up and find it. But see, we need to be asking God. We need to be praying to God, asking Him to help us to proclaim His Word. You see, because He has given us that task we saw a moment ago. But not only that, did you realize that you are an ambassador? You see? That's a kind of a big sounding important word, isn't it? You see? I'm an ambassador? You see? Yes, you are. And maybe not an ambassador to, you know, China or Russia or, you know, any other country in the world, but you are the most important ambassador that there is. Because you are one who is supposed to be speaking for Christ. You see? The Apostle Paul, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, turn over there, beginning in verse 18, and we're gonna start in verse 18 and look at a couple, and then we're going to jump up above that, but let's start here first. He says, beginning in verse 18, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." What's that sound like to you? The Great Commission, maybe? You see? He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Look at verse 20. "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." You see, we are ambassadors of Christ. You know, I don't know about you, but that makes me kind of feel important. You see, we're ambassadors. We speak on Christ's behalf. At least that's what we're supposed to be doing, you see. But when we fail to do that, when we make excuses and we can't do it because, again, we don't know enough and all those other things, then we're not doing what God has sent us to do. And so if that's a struggle for us, what we need to be doing is praying, just like Paul did, and asking God, you see, to open those doors for us, and then asking Him to help us to proclaim His Word clearly, as we should. In other words, give us the words that He wants us to share. You see? And when we do that, we don't have anything to fear. I promise you, okay? Stop worrying about whether somebody's going to ask you something you don't know. They are, okay? Get over it. All right? Just realize that that's going to happen, and then take the time and the effort to go and find out. Tell them, hey, look, I don't know, but let's see if we can find it. And if I can't find it right now, I'll find it, and next time we get together, we'll talk about it. I'll share with you what I found. You see? That's all you have to do. But we need to be praying to God to ask us to ask Him to help us proclaim His Word clearly, just as the Apostle Paul did. You see? And then we need to be praying for wisdom toward outsiders. Go back and take a look at what it is that he said here. Be wise. This is verse 5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You see, you know, really how we view others, and we've been talking about this in our Sunday morning Bible class, how we view others really has a lot to do with whether we're going to actually try to go out and talk to people about the Lord. You see, if we view people from, as we've been talking about, a worldly perspective, we're going to pay attention to, you know, how they look and what they wear and, you know, how they're dressed and how much money they have and where they live and all of those other things that really are not important when it comes to sharing the gospel. When we look at people from a spiritual perspective, we simply see a soul that is in need of God's saving grace. And that's really all that really matters. You see? So how we view people is one of the most important things. And because that's going to, in fact, determine how we're going to interact with that person. Okay? And as Paul is talking about, you know, this particular aspect of it, you know, be wise in the way that we are toward outsiders. You see? You know, back when I was in college, in my first college, you know, your early career in college, you know, we had some guys there in school in the Bible program there that were really, really zealous for the Lord. And I can't fault them for that at all. And they, I mean, these guys were just, boy, they were wanting to go out and pound the pavement and all this kind of stuff. And zeal was great, but their approach sometimes was not the greatest. Sometimes people back then would, you know, they'd knock on somebody's door and they would say something like, "Does Jesus live in your house?" "No, I don't think so." "Well, you're going to go to hell. You know that, don't you?" Whoa, wait a minute here. You know, those folks, I'm sure, were more than happy then to open their door and let them come in and share the gospel with them. You see? No. No. You see, how do we approach people? How do we relate to people and interact with people in our lives? It makes a difference. And that's part of what Paul is talking about here. That we need to be wise in the way that we act towards outsiders. If we just look at everybody that's not part of us as being, well, they're all sinners and they're lost anyway, you know, and a kind of an attitude that says, we got it and they don't, and, you know, if they want it, they can come get it, you know, then that will reflect, and we won't be very effective in sharing the gospel with folks. Okay? So, what do we need to do then? Well, that's another area of prayer. We need to be going to God and asking Him to bless us with wisdom in how we handle, you know, the conversations that we have with outsiders and how we interact with people, how we relate to them. You see, so that we have the opportunity to be able to teach people. What good does it do for us to ask God to open doors of opportunity, you see, and then for us to ask Him to help us to proclaim the Word clearly, and then turn people off because we don't treat them very well? You see, that door that God opened for us quickly gets slammed in our face, and we then have no more opportunity with that person. And so we need to be praying to God to help us with our vision. How do we see other people, first of all? You see? And then help us with how do we then relate? How do we interact with other people so that we have the opportunity to share Jesus with them? You see, here's the bottom line. You know, we recognize, and I think probably most of us do, we recognize at least intellectually, fundamentally, that yes, we're supposed to be out spreading the gospel. Okay? But ask yourself and answer honestly, how many of us have really honestly prayed and asked God to send you someone that you would have opportunity to share the gospel with? Or to open a door for you with someone that you know in your life that's not a Christian, that is still lost. You see? Do you pray about that? You see? And especially, as we talked about back several weeks ago, especially those people in our lives who are our friends or family members or co-workers, that we pray for their physical needs. You know, they've got medical issues and, you know, health issues and things like that. We don't have a problem praying about those things. Our prayer list has been full of those kinds of prayer requests. What we need to be doing also is to be praying and asking God concerning those who are not in Christ. We need to be praying and asking God to open a door for us into that person's life so we can share the gospel with them. So not only can they be healed physically, if that's God's desire, but that they, more importantly, can be healed spiritually and be saved. But that's something that we need to be praying about. You see? Not just talking about it, not just, you know, looking at what the Bible has to say about evangelism. We need to be doing that also, but we need to be praying about that. Going to God in prayer and asking Him to open those doors for us. Now, again, as I said as we began, think about this and we'll be finished. If you pray and ask God to help you do something that He commanded you to do, don't you think He's going to do that? You say? I do too. Now, as we think about people in our lives that we know that are not in Christ, maybe family members, neighbors, co-workers, whoever, and all of us know people like that, okay? This morning I want you to be thinking about in terms of, okay, what do you need to do so that you can be an instrument for God, an ambassador to share Christ with them? It may be that you need some kind of guidance. Maybe there's some things that you need cleared up in your mind as far as what the Bible says, so you know you can do it more effectively. We can do that. We can help you learn. We can't help you with it if we don't know what it is. Okay. Maybe some folks here this morning who are not in Christ yet. Maybe you've not given your life to Christ. And so, unless you've had your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, you're still separated from God. You need to understand that. We don't tell you that condemningly. We tell you that out of love so that you can be saved. Okay? And not only that, but we have the opportunity, if you're ready to make a commitment to Christ in your life, to become His child. And you can do that right now. You don't have to wait, you know, for any special time or whatever. You can do it right now if you're ready to make that commitment. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, and that's an important aspect of that, Lord of your life, then call upon Him as such, confess Him as such. Repent of your sins. When you have those sins washed away in baptism, right now. We have a song that we're going to sing. Tom, if you'll come up, and we're going to use this as an invitation. If we can serve you in any way whatsoever, just come up and let me know. I'll be up here in the front. Ted, are you going to be in the back? Ted will be in the back. If someone would like to go back and just have a private prayer or talk with him back there privately, you can do that. Let's stand together and sing.